Welcome to the Spirit of the Delaware Valley, a special presentation of Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here's your host, Dave Parker.
Hello, this is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio, bringing to you another edition of the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And joining me by phone today is Monsignor Michael McGee, who is a frequent guest of mine. He teaches at the seminary, and he was gracious enough to come on today and talk about last Sunday's readings in the Gospel. And Monsignor, welcome. Welcome back.
Thank you, Dave. It's good to be back with you.
Okay. So, Monsignor, do you want to open us with the St. Augustine's Prayer to the Holy Spirit, please?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me, then, O Holy Spirit, that I may always be holy.
Amen. Thank you, Monsignor. Thank you for coming on. And another very important event, a monumental event that happened at the end of last week was the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And I really loved your homily as how you basically wove that in. I'm looking at the first reading last week, the first book of Kings. But essentially, the theme, and as you had mentioned at the outset in your homily, and you're going to get into now, is the word freedom. And it was a free.
Right.
So if you can pivot off of that and just kind of go, for our listeners, Holy Spirit Radio family listeners, and basically give us your homily, which was so rich from last week.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
But really, I was taking up what St. Paul said in the second reading, really, about the letter to the Galatians, when he says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free," and he says, "You're called to freedom, but don't use that freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Rather, serve one another through love."
Mm-hmm.
And it strikes me one of the things that is really, I think, one of the greatest dangers to our country right now, having been founded so thoroughly on the idea of freedom, is just a gross misunderstanding of what freedom really is.
Mm-hmm.
That it's degenerated into a kind of notion of not being bothered, not having any obligations, not having any commitments, and really doing anything to avoid that which impinges on us with commitments and obligations. And really what that leads to is isolation, not freedom, because I think a way that to really illustrate it eloquently is just to think, let people think back, as I invited them to do, beginning the homily on Sunday, when you were falling in love, spouses, what men will do for the woman that they begin to love, and what women will do for love and motherhood, are things that really you couldn't force a slave to do. When you just look at the difficulty and the thoroughness of the commitment that these things require, and yet no one would say these things are not free, because they're done for love, and we're really almost never more free than when we are guided by love.
Mm-hmm.
And, really, I think in order to understand what freedom really is, it's the capacity to look and to see and to decide with our intellect what is truly good, that is the supreme good, the good that we want to go after, and have the ability from within our own powers to go after that good. A freedom that is not based on the effort that takes to really make a decision about what's truly good and go for it, a freedom that really wants not to be bothered with any encumberment and just want to be free of any obligations, really what takes over at that point is our basest instincts and the things that drive us from within and our appetites. And that is not freedom.
Yes.
It's another kind of slavery. And what's worse is when we consider that to be freedom, what's driving us from within is simply our own urges, and they come into conflict with each other. Mm-hmm. One person's urges, you want this good, and I want it too. And so it leads to strife. It leads to people being at each other's throats. And really, in a society like that, where there is no true freedom based on the pursuit of what's truly good, people's so-called freedom just ends up destroying one another. And it's the survival of the strongest. It's the mm-hmm. destruction of the weakest. And that's really what had happened in our country for the whole regime of the time when Roe v. Wade was the law of the land. Right. And children who had been conceived, these are persons already existing, were deprived of life because their existence was seen as a threat to someone else's freedom. Mm-hmm. When really, I think anyone who has had children and taken those children to term can see that the defense of life and what we do to foster the good of the children is really the working out of the greatest freedom that we have, calling forth the greatest freedom that we have. And so really, abortion, I think, is a threat to the freedom of our country. And I think it's nothing less than that. Mm-hmm. And now we have the opportunity in a new way to have this debate. I think a big mistake that people make with the new decision, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, I think it is, mm-hmm. Is to think that because this Supreme Court decision has been made, the battle to overcome the evil of abortion is done. It's only really beginning. This decision really only allows it to happen because now it's the laws of the various states, including Pennsylvania and your other listeners, New Jersey and Delaware, mm-hmm. all of the states now have the capacity to pass the laws that the citizens of those states see to be right in defending the values that they see as good.
Exactly.
And we want to put before the public that human life is the greatest good that we have. Without the good of life, we can't enjoy any of the other goods.
Mm-hmm. Well, Monsignor, I agree with that. And again, the decision the Supreme Court rendered just pushed it down to the 50 state laboratories, so to speak, legislatures.
Right.
And let the people decide, which was kind of the egregious thing that Roe did. It took it away from the states and it placed it at the federal level. You said something a couple minutes ago. I mean, the word love. There are different types of love. If someone, and you went to the self thing about people being selfish, you have two people that want the same thing, but they may be coming at it not out of a true Christian love or true love. I mean, they may be love of themselves, love of the concept that they think is the better concept, and by golly, they're going to fight hard to make it, make it so. Thinking about the three different types of love, I mean, if you want to get into and expand more, love of neighbor.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, in his encyclical Deus Caritas in 2005, Pope Benedict actually said that today the term love has become one of the most frequently used and misused of words. It's a word that we attach all sorts of different meanings because I think the way that it's used so most frequently on in a conversational level today, it's a word that is used to speak of our urges and of what comes up within us in an attraction to another person, and that certainly is part of what love is about. God Himself has put that within us, but the Bible speaks of love in the richest kind of way. In the biblical Greek, there are at least three different words mm-hmm. for love, and they're in ascending order. That love that is the characteristic of sexual attraction is certainly one of them, and it has its place in the beauty of God's creation. You know, if you look at the Song of Songs in the Bible and other places, that's nothing less than love poetry. That form of love is there to be a sign of the of God's yearning for us and of the yearning that He wants us to have for Him. But then there's also that love of friendship, which involves a sharing of higher values. And the highest form of love of all, especially that we find in the New Testament, is the kind of love that is the sacrifice of self for the good of another and for God. And it's exemplified most eloquently in the cross of our Lord Jesus. You know, one of the things that's sort of, it's a mystery that we have to learn and accept and even just try out, if we can put it that way, is that the discovery, the Christian truth, that loving in that sacrificial sort of way is actually not losing ourself. Mm-hmm. That actually to come to the ability to love in that total gift of self, we actually don't lose ourself. That's actually where we find our highest self. And it's when we make that kind of sacrificial self-gift, self-giving love the goal of our existence, it almost can't go wrong. Mm-hmm. It always leads both us and others around us to greater happiness. Mm-hmm. That's really the great secret of the Christian faith, that you have to try in order to verify it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
you have to live it. You know, you have to want to.
You know, and yes. any one of us who comes to realize that that's true, unfortunately, we can recognize it just by looking at ourselves in our best moments, because there are moments for all of us when we fail to live that kind of love. But whenever we've striven for it, we find that when we can actually begin to even make a valiant effort to put forth that kind of love, it's really where we find ourselves with the most joy, the happiest.
Mm-hmm. And maybe at peace as well, you know. So I was looking at the second reading, which is, you know, where you basically took, you know, that's what your jumping off point was, you know, letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. But, and again, it just, and you started out and you read some of it, but it says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you go on biting and devouring one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another. So that, and that's very apt. And it says, I say then, live by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desire of the flesh, for the flesh has desires against the Spirit. Well, actually, let's get back to the first reading about Elijah and Elisha or Elisha. And what is the message there? What's the essence of that reading? Well, the freedom that Elisha, at the bottom line, he gave up everything for the love to follow Jesus and Elijah. Is that correct?
To follow God, being the successor of Elijah the prophet. Mm-hmm. Really, I think as happens almost every Sunday, there's a profound connection between the Old Testament reading. Mm-hmm. And the gospel reading. And in both of them this past Sunday, we had what's in essence a vocation, a call from God to a person to fulfill a particular mission. You know, you had in the Elijah or Elisha being asked to follow God in this in the first reading. And then in the gospel reading, our Lord is calling his disciples to follow him, and he's asking them for this radical discipleship where they're even supposed to leave behind everything that they know, including their families of origin, and to follow God unreservedly. Mm-hmm. That really does fit together, even though it's not calculated and chosen as a reading to go along with the mention of freedom in the second reading. You know, today people are so afraid sometimes to make commitments that they live until they're much older to get married, almost too late to have children sometimes, because they're afraid. You know, they're afraid that it hems in their freedom once they make that commitment. And for the same reason, I think that vocations to the priesthood and to the religious life are so often people feel the stirring of that vocation, but they're afraid of it. You know, they don't want to lose their freedom. If we really understand that whole message that we find in the Bible about what true freedom really is, then to use our freedom to make a total permanent commitment to God or to another person is not losing our freedom. It's actually the highest expression of our freedom. It's telling us our freedom is so great a thing that we can use it to give ourselves without reserve and without taking it back. Mm-hmm. You know, that there's no freer act that a person can do. And because of that, there's no nothing that brings more joy than really to give ourselves to discern that call that God, every one of us has a call from God. You know, there are many young people out there who are called to be priests, religious brothers or sisters, who I think, unfortunately, the call of the world pulls them away from that. Mm-hmm. There are many people who are called to be married, and most of them do eventually discover that, but I think there's a hesitancy and also a conditional character that people sometimes enter into marriage, well, I'll try this out, and they're afraid to do it with that complete
abandonment.
As this is permanent, I will never take this back.
And again, as you say, it's the world that does that, and maybe over, well, since the Greatest Generation and then their offspring, and there's this hesitancy, and maybe those folks, and I've heard this, my parents got divorced, so I don't know if I want to get married, you know. That's where the fear comes in. They're maybe afraid of failing. But they hedge their bets, and then they back it off, and then let's maybe just go live with somebody. I think I like that person, but if not, I can move on, and they can move on.
Sure. And, you know, I work in priestly formation, and the prevalence of divorce also affects the young men who are preparing for the priesthood, because they may they're being asked to make a permanent commitment, and yet for many of them, they've never seen one.
Ah, yes.
They've never experienced that permanent commitment. So faithful spouses actually end up being a beautiful model, even for people who go into the priesthood, because it shows them that faithful love really is possible.
Mm-hmm. Very well said, Monsignor. So that's very, very good. That's why I wanted to bring you on, so you can share, we can share through the airwaves of Holy Spirit Radio. And let me give a little station ID. You're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia, and WCOJ 1420 in Coatesville in Chester County. And my very good guest is Monsignor Michael McGee, who teaches at the seminary. So, Monsignor, anything else that you would want to add into this beautiful homily that you're basically summarizing from last Sunday? How about the gospel? What, as you say, the first reading, usually the Old Testament first reading, and the gospel are linked, you know, same message. And then, for example, it says, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." So what does that mean? Because Jesus, you know, spoke in parables. So what does that mean about the world? In other words, and giving things up, just follow me, and I don't have a permanent place because this is not where I'm going to end up.
Well, you know, he's saying that to someone who is just sort of rashly and without thinking about what it means, said that they're going to follow him. Mm-hmm. Wherever he goes, and he's really letting them know what a radical decision that's going to be, mm-hmm. because it means living with uncertainty, at least in a worldly sense, uncertainty every single day, and depending radically on God. That is very challenging to do, and yet when we can really do it, it's the most amazing and exciting kind of life, just to throw all of our hopes onto God and know that He is going to lead us day by day. Most of us, whether we're married or in a vocation to the priesthood or some other vocation to a consecrated life, when we look back to the beginning of that marriage, the beginning of that vocation, we couldn't have possibly predicted everything that would happen. And yes. If we could, we probably would have said no, yeah. You know, because there were difficult things that we didn't know that we could come through as God has led us through. But so he's not keeping us in the dark in order to trick us. He keeps us in the dark about what each future moment brings because we have enough to deal with on each day that passes. Mm-hmm. And we can do that just totally trusting in him. Well, the thing that came to me when you just first asked me what I was thinking about the gospel and its message, I was just making the connection with freedom and Jesus' call to all of those in the gospel that he's calling to that radical discipleship. You know, he says to the disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the highest expression of the truth is that call that God addresses to each one of us in an intimate and individual way. And I think if there's a message I'd like to leave people with, it's the importance of trusting in God and not being afraid that the call of God is somehow going to limit your freedom. If you really throw yourself on the call of God and trust that he is calling you and will lead you through each day and that following his will is what you commit yourself to, that will not ever crush your freedom. That will call forth your freedom, and you'll experience a higher kind of freedom, a more exhilarating kind of freedom than you could ever have just following the urges of the moment from day to day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, amen, Monsignor. That was great. So that in a way, that's a good way to start wrapping this up. And I thought of like, okay, men and women, step out of the boat. That's what the call is. Take that risk. Yes, you know, it can be very scary sometimes, but that's what I thought of. Step out of the boat, make your commitment, and just trust and cling to the Lord. And
right.
He will see you through,
amen.
Get you through.
Amen.
All right, well, Monsignor, would you like to close this Spirit of the Delaware Valley edition with prayer, please?
Certainly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing on all those who are listening. I ask that you awaken in them the freedom that your call brings forth. Let them see that your plans for them are for their peace and not for their woe, and that it is in following you, in learning every day more and more of the truth that you set before us in the scriptures and in the teaching of the church, and in seeking with every effort to follow your will, that we come to the highest freedom and the greatest joy that we can experience. The Lord be with you. Of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit descend on you now and remain with you forever.
Amen. Thank you, Monsignor Michael McGee, for coming on this edition of the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. This is Dave Parker wishing everyone a blessed 4th of July, which is coming up soon. And thanks for listening, and see you next time.
Worldly riches, fame, and success were enough to live for. He was empty. Gospel, he tried to find the one who gives meaning to life, the true sense of life. And then one day his mother spoke, and he understood that to be perfect, perfect like Jesus, take up the cross of mercy, arms open wide, and follow Jesus and stay behind. Cities he proclaimed the living word of wisdom and the spirit of life. Every tepid heart burst forth with flames, the gospel like a fire becomes witness of St. Paul, he understood that to be perfect, perfect like Jesus, to live one's life with burning love, the love of Christ, and through his cross become a brand new light. So run with your hearts on fire, go running toward God, towards others like I do. Be truly saved, shine like sapphires, go running toward thank you.